Life does not discriminate. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And I know for me, this is me. At the end of the day, when I put my head on the pillow, I don't want any regrets. I want to be like, hell yeah, I lived my best life. Yeah. God forbid if something happened to me tomorrow. Like, I'm proud of what I did and I feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I don't know if most people can say that.
Welcome to the Be It Till You See It podcast, where we talk about taking messy action, knowing that perfect is boring. I'm Leslie Logan, Pilates instructor and fitness business coach. I've trained thousands of people around the world, and the number one thing I see stopping people from achieving anything is self-doubt. My friends, action brings clarity, and it's the antidote to fear. Each week, my guests will bring bold, executable, intrinsic, and targeted steps that you can use to put yourself first and be it till you see it. It's a practice, not a perfect. Let's get started.
All right, Be It Babe, get ready. This episode is for you. I mean, they're all for you, but this one is really for you. This one is important and not just inspirational, but my goodness, integral into what you need to know about yourself to take action in what you want in this planet and what this world is. Not every day is going to be a great day. And not every day are you going to feel like the badass that you are. But after this episode, I think you're going to have the tools to communicate with yourself around, like, what do you want? Why are you thinking this way? Why is that coming up? Why are you talking to yourself like that? So Neda Nasruddin is our guest today. And I knew when I met her, she was epic. Now that I've had this time to interview her, I just want to hang out with her as much as I can. Luckily for me, she lives in Las Vegas. But at any rate, here is Neda Nasruddin.
Loves, it's here. OPC Summer Camp. You know, that thing we started last year? Well, we're doing it again this year, and we're making it bigger and better than ever because we have teachers from all over the world, which means all day long, you can nerd out with me at Camp Zoom from the comfort of your own home in your favorite Pilates workout outfit without having to get bugs or dirt or weird camp food that's like some weird slaw. No, you can have the amazing food from your own home. You can be whatever clothes you want to be in, and you can join us all day long for whatever workouts and workshops you sign up for. In fact, you can even do a whole day pass and save the most money. In fact, up to 56% off if you buy the day pass. So go to opc.me/events to see the full schedule and lineup of events. If you only have access to a mat, we've got plenty of stuff for you. We've got reformer. We've got some happy hip reformer with you. We've got so many amazing things. You can go to opc.me/events to see the whole schedule, all 14 teachers, and all the goodness that's going to happen at Camp Zoom. And I'm your camp director. Woo!
Hi, Be It Babe. Welcome back. I'm so excited for Neda Nasruddin to be our guest today. She's a powerhouse. I met her through one of your favorite guests, Michael Unbroken, and we had to celebrate July 4th, which feels like a New Year's because I had fireworks together, and we just instantly connected, and I just love her energy and her how she is just seeing the world. And so, Neda, thank you for being here. Can you tell everyone who you are and what you rock at?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute honor. So as you mentioned, my name is Nedalina Nasruddin. I'm the CEO and founder of Rise Up For You. And we get the greatest honor to work with organizations and individuals around the world to enhance leadership, culture, really all the human skills that we never really get taught. You know, the confidence, the mindset, how to communicate effectively. Those are really the most important skills that we need, not just in our career, but in our personal life. And we often don't get taught that. So we get to do that cool work, again, within companies or one-to-one with individuals around the world.
That is so cool. And you're correct. Like, no one teaches us how to be analytical anymore. There's zero leadership skills being taught anymore. And so then you have this amazing idea. You start a great company or you start your own business and you have success, but then you have to hire a team or you're on a team and it's like, okay, how do I get people to work for me? Like, how do you do that? So how does this get started though? Did you fall into this? Is this always been a vision of yours?
How much time do we have here?
Yeah.
Long story. So it really, you know, I guess I noticed the gap in my first career. I was a performer. So I used to tour the world internationally. I would do musical theater. I would sing and dance. And I would realize, like, when you go on a tour, you have about 40 people on that tour, 40, you know, singers and dancers. And I realized when we would go on tour, that there were just so many challenges on the road that when we would travel, but it had nothing to do with our technique, right? Like, we were amazing singers, amazing dancers. Like, the second we hit the stage, we were flipping rock stars. But when we were driving on the bus, or when we had days off, or when we were rehearsing, there was continuous conflict. And I'm like, okay, there's a lot of like people challenges on the road. That's when I first started to recognize, like, there's a lot more to what we do beyond just the technique of singing and dancing. After about 7-8 years, I hung up the microphone, put my tap shoes away, and I actually became an executive for an education corporation. And I saw the exact same thing happening in the corporation. So I'm about 27, turning 28. I have 200 team members under me. These individuals have PhDs, master's degrees, bachelor's, like all the certifications and credentials and everything that you need. But nothing was working in the culture because people couldn't communicate. They didn't know how to lead effectively. The culture was toxic. Individually, people didn't feel fulfilled, lacking confidence, self-doubt, imposter syndrome. And all those things compiled really did not make like a healthy culture or just a healthy and fulfilling life for these individuals. So that's when I really started to ask myself, like, what is true success? We've been taught for so long, like, chase the degree, get the technique, get the credentials, but no one really ever tells you about the secret sauce, or what I like to call the it factor, that really does make up somebody's success. So again, these were all just like thoughts in my head, and these were things that I was noticing. Mm-hmm. And I went through my own personal journey. And overnight, I resigned from the company as an executive after about 4.5 years. I moved out of the country to settle down and get married. And in 4 weeks, my husband said he wanted a divorce. So I lost everything. So I went from a six-figure executive to a house on the lake to $100 in my account, no job, no car, no nothing, two luggage. I get back on a plane from Canada is where I went, back to California, crying, bawling, so confused and embarrassed about what just happened, lost everything. And my father came to me in my dream. My father had 6 heart attacks. So by the time I was going through this challenge in life, he had already passed. Mm. And he came to me on the airplane when I was crying in my dream. And he said, Netta, everything you need is already inside of you. You just have to rise up for you. Now, I know it's hard, but if you could see the book back there, it's called The Rise for You. And that's the company that I started building. I just came back to California and I said, rise up for you. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means. I've never built a business before. Like, I don't have an entrepreneurial background. My degree is not in business, but I just started building Rise Up For You. And I started asking myself, okay, what am I good at? What do I love to do? What do people think I'm good at? Like, I asked about 10 of my friends. And I just started building the company, or the brand, I should say, because, you know, the first year or two, you're really just building the brand.
Yeah.
And about 3 months after I came back from Canada and I started building Rise Up For You, my mother, my second parent, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer out of nowhere. So I built the company out of the hospital. I took showers at the 24-hour fitness and I would go back to the hospital, open up my laptop. What do people need in the world? You know, what is coaching? Who's Tony Robbins? And I really just started to craft. And with my experience that I had prior as an executive and as a performer, and the things that I was seeing happening and what I was going through, I'm like, okay, what does it really mean to build a life that you're proud of? And what are the skills that we need? And out of that pain came the company.
No, that's so amazing. First of all, I love that your father came to you in your dream. And I love that you actually, it's kind of interesting how it all happened with your mom when you were back in California, so you could actually be there with her and, like, you know, like, she could also somewhat be there for you as going through this big transition. But, like, I am constantly amazed by these obstacles that we go through, how frustrating it probably was to be on the road and how frustrating it was to be an executive with these people who have all these degrees and all these talents, and they're wasting them because there's infighting, there's all this, you know, backfighting and all this stuff. But also all of that led you to, like, being able to see a problem that needed to be solved and can be solved in so many different scales. Like, it can be in a big 200 person company and it can be on the road for a musical tour. Like, it's kind of insane how that led you to here. I'm amazed and never surprised, but it's always blows my mind because we tend to go, what's the thing that's going to make me successful? And it's like, well, what were you going through your past that you experienced that you actually have some experience in solving and in seeing, you know?
Definitely. Absolutely. And it's, and even from like a speaking perspective, right? You know, like I speak a lot, you know, obviously I'm on stage, podcasts, and, you know, oftentimes I get told, well, like you're awesome on stage. And I'm like, but you know what? I performed for so many years. I had no idea as a performer that 10 years later, I was going to be talking and being on stage and pretty much doing the same thing, just with a different tool. Yeah. One tool was big, one tool is, you know, empowerment mindset and, you know, the training and development that we do.
Yeah. So how many years have you been doing Rise Up now that it's officially been going, and like, what are you excited about working with it today? Like, what's the big goal for today?
Yeah, great question. So the brand was about 2 years and then the actual business is 5. So a total of 7.
Wow.
And the reason why I say that is because the first 2 years I didn't make a dime. There was no business model. It was just, let's, you know, put content out there for free. Like a blog, you know how it was back in the day, like you had your blog and, you know, you would do podcasts and that kind of stuff. And then after about 2 years, I thought, no, like if I really want this to go somewhere and do something, I need to put, you know, my foot in the fire and I just need to do it. And that's when I started like actually building the monetary side of it. And then it just catapulted there.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that first 2 years. I think so many people watch businesses and brands and personal brands grow online and they go, oh my God, they're just skyrocketing. They're doing so much. They're making so much. And what people don't realize is like the first 2 years, if you're making money like that, good, great. It's also the hardest 2 years. And it doesn't have to be successful in those first 2 years for it to be successful later on. Like really taking in information and providing value is the most important thing one can do.
Yeah. And especially when you're in the service industry, which, you know, there's a lot of solopreneurs and coaches and consultants out there. Like you're the product. You don't have a product that you could just give to someone and then you're like, oh yeah, give me 10, you know, you're the product. And so you really have to build, you got to build some clout. You got to build some credibility. You have to build, you know, some kind of brand around you first, lots of speaking for free, like my first 2 years, just to get out there so that people can see like, oh, she's good on stage, or, you know, she's got a great message, or even just to collect footage to put up online, like a lot of that the first 2 years. And then from there, it was like, okay, we can do something with this. And honestly, from there, it's been crazy. Like we quadrupled during the COVID. And even last year, the research just came out that about 60% of small businesses fell behind last year. We more than doubled last year in 2020. So it's just been, which only doesn't speak to us. It just speaks to the need, need of what.
Well, a little bit of both. I think like one, people are finally aware of the need. And then also like you are there, you know, that's what, like preparation meets opportunity, you know, like people are, well, here's what's amazing. Like we also had, it was one of the hardest years for us and one of the best years. We consistently every single year made more, which I'm so proud of. And I don't share that to brag. And I don't think even Netta sharing her success is bragging. I think it's really important. Ladies, listen to this. You need to hear how businesses are growing because you can hear from the people around you like, oh, it's bad. There's a recession. Like there's all these things. No one says anything good about the economy ever. So, but like the truth is that people are realizing if their teams are not happy and satisfied as a human being, they can leave because there is such a demand for good people who can do great work and companies need more and more people to do those things. And so I think it's really cool that you are able to be an asset to these companies to actually help them create this opportunity to see their people and work more functionally with their teams. Is that like, am I on the right track? Is that what like people are seeing for you? Is that what you're going in there for?
Totally. Yeah. And we have the two divisions. So we have the company, the corporation, and then we also have the individuals because I mean, it's really sad to say this, but I'm sure you see this too. Most individuals are just not happy and they're on autopilot and they don't feel fulfilled. They don't have clarity. They're not like present in their life. And most of the time it's because, again, they've never been taught these tools. Sometimes it's so overwhelming. They don't know how to get out of it. Like, okay, I have a job. I pay my bills. I have my kids. Every single day I have to do this, but they don't feel happy. They don't feel fulfilled. And they just don't understand how to make the shift. Or maybe the courage and the confidence hasn't been built for them to make the shift, right? Because there's a disruption that needs to happen if you want to create massive change in your life. So we really tackle both areas because, you know, companies are made up of people. If people walk into an organization and they're unhappy and they're unfulfilled, I mean, I don't care what company you work for, it's not going to work because people bring their challenges and their pain into the workplace.
Yeah.
It's fulfilling to do both. It's fulfilling to go into an organization and see the culture shift and the leadership change and for people to have aha moments. And it's also really amazing to sit across from somebody that maybe really wanted to build a business, but they're scared. They don't know how to, but they just start it. And then they see the fruits of their labor happen.
Yeah. I love that. Cause, in college, I didn't think I was ever using this degree. And then I realized I've been using it the whole time, but like my degree was in interpersonal and organizational communication. So like one-on-one and then how a business communicates, it's really quite funny. And then like, I became a Pilates instructor and I thought, oh gosh, why did I get that degree in the first place? But then because I became a fitness business coach and because of the company that I created for Pilates, like it is all interpersonal communication and organization communication. And when I grew my company to a place where I actually had a higher team, that was one of the hardest things. So to like talk about being a human being, you take it to the workplace. If you're not used to asking for help, you can hire all the people that you want. You have to ask them to do things and like you have to. That is a leadership skill of like, how do I ask for help and how do I get the help that I'm wanting and how do I communicate that? It took massive growth. And then when my husband came onto the team, we worked with a coach to like figure out, you know, how the business was going to run. And she was like, oh, you guys are in the wrong roles. And so he took over as running the company. And even then, even with that, I was like, oh, that's amazing. But I had to learn again, like, okay, then what's the leadership I have in this company? Because now someone else is like running my vision. What does that look like? And it's a consistent need, you guys. Every level, there's a new devil, but you have to like, if you don't fix the things that you're on autopilot on now, you'll have to fix them later and it'll be a little bit harder when the business is bigger.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, I come from this perception and it could just be my experience of, you know, so much loss at a young age. Like by the time I was 31, turning 32, I lost both of my parents and then betrayed myself. You know, and also felt betrayed by someone that I loved. So I think that, you know, what I see today is a lot of individuals that are very entitled when it comes to life. Like we walk around as if we have 10 lifetimes to live and we don't. Like we forget that God forbid tomorrow can be the last day or even in 3 hours from now. We just don't know. But we have a very entitled mindset around like, oh, I have time. And I think once an individual breaks that mindset and says like, no, like, and creates urgency, they start to take action more because the last thing you want to do, and I see this a lot, is 5 years from now, somebody will come back and be like, 5 years ago, I wanted help and I never got it. And I thought I could just whatever, figure it out. And now it's 5 years later, 5 years has gone by and I'm in the same spot. You know what I mean? So it's creating that urgency because life does not discriminate. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And I know for me, this is me. At the end of the day, when I put my head on the pillow, I don't want any regrets. I want to be like, hell yeah, I lived my best life.
Yeah.
God forbid if something happened to me tomorrow. Like I'm proud of what I did and I feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I don't know if most people can say that.
I think you're right. I really thought like maybe that the pandemic would change how people live their lives. Cause like, my goodness, we had like an entire full year, depending on where you lived, where you were like, how do I want out of, like, how do I want to be when this is all over? Like a big pause. And so many people got even more negative and more entitled and more like, and not seeing like the gift that we had of a reset. Like I saw that as like such a reset. Like this was, it sucked. You know, I'm not going to say that like it was the most fun refunding thousands of dollars at the beginning of it and starting my whole business over from scratch. But like, I really did take it as like, okay, if all of this is leaving, what is it creating space for? And who would I want to be on the other side of this? And I'm not saying like I live this life, like I don't, I sometimes do live like I have 10 lifetimes. I try to think of it as like maybe two more, but like, I think it is so easy for us to just lean into we have tomorrow, everything's guaranteed, and just wake up 5 years and it's the freaking same. And I did not want that when 2020 happened. I was like, no, when this is all over, I want to be further along than when I started. And I want to take advantage of this. I wonder, like, how do you help people speed up the decision to change their life like that? How do we get people to not waste 5 years before they finally come to get your help?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The first thing for me, and this is what I see predominantly across all clientele, is confidence. Mm-hmm. It's self-confidence, because most people don't take action and move forward because they're afraid. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of rejection. Maybe they don't know how to do it, and they don't have the self-confidence to like sit and learn and figure it out, right? There's anytime there's a procrastination or anytime a behavior is occurring, whether it's a lack of action or an action, it's because of the belief system that's been built. Mm. So my team and I, we ask every year, we assess thousands of professionals. 83% say their number one challenge is self-confidence. Like, think about this. 83% of professionals say their number one challenge is self-confidence. And these are educated professionals that are executives that are running like Fortune 500 companies, you know? And so the challenge is not content. It's not whether or not you have the skill or can learn the skill. Like, we're in 2024. Think about, you can go on Google right now and figure out how to build a business,
yep,
how to do, like, whatever you want to do.
You can even ask it to create content for you at this point. Like, there's not an obstacle here, guys, except for you.
That's exactly right. And so, like, the content and the tools and the resources to build a life that you're proud of is all there for most people, except for those that are maybe in a third world country that don't have internet and, you know, our capabilities. So the challenge is not what can I grab and get a hold of. It's where am I at? What's happening with me? And it always comes from, it comes from here. And that's why people procrastinate and struggle with taking action. Mm-hmm. They have to rewrite the beliefs that they've been programmed to have of being afraid of failure, being afraid of rejection. Like, if you want to move forward and you want to create massive change in your life, you have to be unapologetically self-confident to the point that your identity is not defined by the mistakes and the failures that you have. And most individuals struggle with that.
Yes.
And it prevents them from taking action because they don't want people on social media to see them and be like, oh, look at them today. Or they're afraid of doing a video because people think they're going to, you know, make fun of them. They people please. They're afraid of, you know, putting people down. They don't have healthy boundaries in their life. All of these things cripple people from building the life that they want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how much lack of self-confidence there is. It's it feels like an epidemic of its own. Because like, I meet so many people who are so amazing and they just don't have the confidence that they can do the first next step. And I was with my friend Kareen, y'all, she's been on the podcast before, and she is like, confidence is just faith in action. Like, it's not, doesn't mean you have proof that you can do it. It's just that you have faith that if you take the action, it's going to work itself out. And, you know, it's such a simple way of seeing that, but so many people have more faith in fear than they do in them taking the next step.
100%. So I break it down in two. This is the way that I teach, train, and speak about confidence. There's two types of confidence that we have. Okay. We've been taught our whole life to build what I call micro level confidence. Okay. Micro confidence, meaning that we're taught to build confidence in categories, competencies, or things. So for example, we go to school our whole life and we're taught to like get good grades in math, in science, like whatever credential, we go to university, some of us, we get good grades in that competency, in that subject, right? So we're taught our whole life to build confidence in these things, but those things aren't sustainable. So for example, I'm very confident as a speaker. I'm confident as a singer, but those things change. Like, God forbid, I can lose my voice tomorrow and then I can't speak or sing anymore, mm-hmm, right? That's micro level confidence, and they're constantly shifting. This is what we saw with COVID. There were people that were having major meltdowns that came to work with our team because they've only ever known themselves as like this high functioning leader, this business owner, this six figure role. That's how they identified themselves. And then all of those things shifted and changed during COVID. And they were like, who am I? What's my worth? What value do I bring to the world? Mm-hmm. Because their identity was attached to this micro level confidence. Okay. Then you have the real self-confidence that we want. And that's what I call macro level confidence. Macro level confidence is an inner belief in your ability to learn, pivot, and grow. Mm-hmm. Macro level confidence is a belief that even when you fail and you fall, that your outside circumstances don't define your worth and your self-esteem and who you are as an individual. Mm-hmm. Many individuals do not have this macro level confidence, But the macro level confidence is what gets you to build the micro level confidence. Mm. So think when I shared my story about building the business, I didn't have any micro, like I had no idea how to build a business. I was never an entrepreneur. I knew nothing about nothing, like didn't know how to build a website, like had no freaking idea. But I had the macro level confidence to say, okay, the current situation that I am in right now sucks, but I believe in my ability to learn. And I believe that I can like go and figure it out. And everything that I'm going through right now does not make me a crappy person. It does not mean that I'm not good enough. It does not mean that I don't add value to this world. It's just a situation that's occurring and I'm going to use my pain as fuel for growth. That's macro level confidence. Mm-hmm. So then I was able to take action because I understood that even if I take the wrong action, that doesn't make me a bad person or not enough or whatever the thoughts are that we have in our mind. And because I had the macro level confidence, what happened? I built more micro, which is building the business. And then all these extra micro little things started to get built. Mm. And that is the most important for people to understand. But if you don't believe and bet on you, you know, how are you going to pivot in the next 5 to 10 years when artificial intelligence is coming or something else, God forbid, happens in society? You talked about the recession earlier, right? Or, you know, COVID. That's all a mindset, right? That's the self-confidence and the monkey chatter and the fear that we feel. But I can tell you now, I know people, including myself, that they flourished during COVID. They flourished during the recession. I know we did because for us, it's like, no, we're taking action. Like we're not going to get into fear. We're not going to get into worry. Yep. We're not going to get into scarcity mindset. We believe in who we are. We believe in what we're doing. And we're just going to continue to take action and tune out the noise.
Yep. No, you're 100%. Right there, I think like people who make decisions on their business based on fear and what the media is telling them is happening, there's no way you can have macro confidence or micro because you're taking advice from people who do things for clicks and views. And the longer you watch on there and like having the confidence in yourself, which would same here, both in COVID and in the last year, it was insane what we were able to do when everyone was saying those things were impossible or things were bad. And, you know, it really isn't, I don't think you and I are anomalies. It's just very, very much like believing in ourselves and taking the action that follows through with that. Okay. So obviously this is what you coach on, but I guess like for that macro level confidence, like where do people need to start? Because like we can sit here and say you'd believe in yourself and people can be nodding in their cars like, I need to believe in myself. But like, how do they actually start building that like belief in them that they can handle things?
Great question. So I'm going to take it back a little bit and I'm going to be fully transparent. Some people are luckier than others in their path in life that shifted their confidence. And this is what I mean. So there's two schools of thought out there when it comes to confidence. Some, you know, research and scientists and people that are in this space say that you're either born with confidence or you're not, right? And then you have the other philosophy that's like, no, it's a skill, you can build it. Mm-hmm. I believe it's both. Because when you think about babies, for example, when they're born in this world, they are so flipping confident. Like they do what they want, they say what they want, they explore, they touch, like they don't have fear in their mind. Mm-hmm. It's not a part of who they are. When they learn to walk and they fall on their bum 100 times, they don't care if people are looking at them or like they get back up. They keep trying. It's part of their nature. But some of us are born into cultures, households, parents, society, things that are external that immediately shift our confidence and how we feel about ourselves. Okay. Mm-hmm. And some of us are born into very like beautiful, loving circumstances that give us more confidence. And many of us are born into situations where, you know, we're told that we suck and we're not good enough and we can't do that starting at a young age. And then you go to school and maybe your teacher says the same thing. And then maybe you get bullied. And so then it validates that. Mm-hmm. And then you get into your first relationship and they break up with you because you're fat or ugly and they don't think you're good enough. And then it revalidates that belief system. Then you get your first job and your leader's unkind to you. So all of those things impact our confidence. And I would say there's only a lucky few that have had like a pretty positive journey that's taught them to love themselves and be confident and be kind. Okay. Yeah. I happen to be one of those people. I'm very lucky. And I always say that because I was born into a family of two parents that when my parents would drive us to school when I was 5, they would say affirmations like, today you're going to be amazing. And we would have to repeat it. If we came in the house when I was 7 and I was like, I can't do that, my dad would be like, don't you dare say I can't in front of me. Like, so we were taught that at a very young age. And, yeah. and I consider us to be lucky. If you haven't had that path, then we need to rewire the brain. This is where the neuroscience comes in. And we need to do some strategies to shift the belief system. So I use something called the 4 B's. It's what we call reverse engineering with the company. It's a blueprint that we founded. There's 4 B's to reframing and reverse engineering your belief system so that you can actually build confidence. Because if your beliefs aren't working, right, then your blessings aren't going to come to fruition. But they're all connected.
Yeah.
So the first belief is, and there's a lot of these, are start writing down the limiting beliefs that you have. Now, this takes the self-awareness for you to catch it, right? So for example, if you want to raise your hand in a meeting because you have something to say, but you walk out of that meeting and you don't raise the hand, write down the limiting belief. Why didn't you raise the hand? What's the belief that came into your mind? Mm-hmm. Did you not raise the hand because you were afraid that people were going to think you're stupid, or you were afraid that they weren't going to accept what you wanted to say? Like, what's the belief? Write it down. The limiting belief. Limiting belief meaning that it got in your way, right? Mm-hmm. It sabotaged you. Mm-hmm. And then the second B is, what's the backstory to that belief? Whatever that belief is, where did it come from? Yeah. And the backstory is usually the most difficult to identify because it usually stems, like, you know, years and years ago.
Yeah.
So, example, I didn't raise my hand because I was afraid that the leader was going to shut me down and think I'm stupid. Okay, well, where did that come from? Why do you think they're going to shut you down and think you're stupid? Well, the first job I ever had, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta trace it back.
Yeah.
The third B, which is so important because this is what people usually aren't attuned to, is what's the behavior that it's causing? Because our beliefs are creating behaviors in us that sometimes we don't even know we're behaving in a certain way. And what I mean by behavior is, for example, somebody gives you a compliment about your clothes and then on autopilot, you're like, oh no, I look ugly, whatever. Like, that's a behavior that you just, right? It could be that you're overly aggressive with your partner, with your romantic partner. It could be not raising the hand in the meeting. All of those things are behaviors.
Yeah.
So we want to understand the belief that you have that's limiting you. What's the behavior that it's causing? Because the behavior at the end of the day is what we want to shift, but it's attached to the beliefs. They're all connected.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the fourth B is, now how do we break it? How do we break the limiting belief so that we can shift the behavior? And that's not one size fits all. It's a little bit different for everyone.
Yeah.
Some people, and I know this was true for me, the second I found out that my limiting belief was attached to, like, Bobby Joe, let's say, and then Bobby Joe's, like, it made so much impact on me that it then impacted this behavior that was preventing me from getting the money that I wanted. I was like, wait a minute. Bobby Joe is not that powerful in my life. Like,
yeah.
The fact that Bobby Joe from 20 years ago has, like, really impacted me to the fact that this belief is impacting my behavior to, like, go and ask for, no, I can't accept that. Sometimes it's that simple for somebody, you know what I mean? And other times, you know, we need to work through it a little bit more and do more digging and more self-awareness and reflecting.
I think that, thank you for bringing up Bobby Joe, because, like, I think a lot of people have a lot of Bobby Joes holding them back.
Totally.
And, like, one of the things we coach people in our business, we're like, you know, it's time for you to raise your rates. And some people, they're like, I got to do it. I'm going to do it. They just do it. Some people, 6 months later, we're still talking about doing it. And I'm like, so which client are you not raising your rates because of? Like, there's a person that you're afraid is going to say something nasty. It's one person, and you are affecting your entire company on this one client that I bet if they left you, you'd go, and it's a Bobby Joe, because we have these limiting beliefs that we can't do something because of whatever is going on. Oh, it's such an, I love those B's also, because you're correct. Our behaviors just reflect what we believe is possible. So if we can actually have awareness, it makes it easier to take steps. And you can do this with each one, like each and every single one. And it's true how far back you have to go. You guys, I was doing some morning pages. I talked about this on a podcast episode about a year ago. I don't cook around the house. I'm like, I can't cook. I don't cook. And I was doing these morning pages with this artist way group we were doing. And it came up that when I was, like, 7 years old, my grandfather said, what are you, stupid? When I made a grilled cheese sandwich. And I made it correctly, everyone. I made the grilled cheese sandwich correctly. But the way he said it to me, and it shut me down. I didn't cook anything.
I didn't even start. And I was like, whoa, my whole life, I didn't even try to cook. Because I just like the 7-year-old me was like hearing like you're stupid, you can't like, and it's not like I was actually hearing those words, but like it's the behaviors match this limiting belief that was happening that happened so long ago in my life. So my goodness, Netta, we could talk forever, but I really love that you gave us those 4 B's. And I really love that you actually like instilled that idea of like macro confidence, because I think that's a really great takeaway for people to kind of focus on. Obviously, we'll have to have you back, but we're going to take a brief break, find out where people can find you, follow you, work with you, and your Be It Action Items. All right, loves, it's super important to me that supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for 3 years, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. I love this so much, guys, because so many people think I have to get it right the first time, and they have done 52 different iterations. I freaking love that. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal. I really do drink it, and trust me, there's a reason why I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. Holy moly. I know that like I'm a recovering overachiever over here, but I'm super glad AG1 isn't. Okay, so taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by replacing multiple health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and more in just one simple scoop. It's literally just one scoop. It's one scoop in one bottle of water. It's amazing. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. Y'all know I've had gut stuff, so that's why I've been doing it for so long. I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/beit. That's drinkag1.com/BEIT. Check it out. All right, Netta, where do you like to hang out? Where can people connect with you?
Awesome. Thank you. So definitely you can check us out at riseupforyou.com. We have a ton of free resources. We actually have something that's pretty cool. It's the masterclass that we have, but we create the masterclass based off of your need. So we have this cool algorithm. You get in there. It's totally free. It asks you a couple questions. And then based off of how you respond, it drives you to the masterclass accordingly. So if you come to us and you're like, hey, I'm looking for confidence, it'll drive you to a confidence masterclass bootcamp. If you're like, hey, like I'm really struggling with my personal brand, it'll drive you to a masterclass on personal brand. So check that out. It's totally free at riseupforyou.com. But I love to play on Instagram and LinkedIn. That's my zone. That's my space. Please connect with me. Follow me there. I do my own Instagram and LinkedIn messages. So like, you're not going to get a bot. If you send me a message, I'll definitely respond to you.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. I also love that. I don't think I've ever had anyone on here who is like a create your own adventure. Tool.
Well, that's such a great way to say it.
Yeah. I love create your own adventure. I do create your own adventure birthday parties all the time. Like, I'm like, here's where I'm going to be. You choose what you want to do. So I'm in on that all the time. Okay, you've given us so much actually already, but I do want to, in case people want to just like get something at the end, bold, executable, intrinsic, or targeted steps people can take to be it till they see it. What do you have for us?
Yeah, the first thing that I'm going to say is this really fast is everybody has negative beliefs, including myself. And I do this for a living and wrote a book. And every single day I talk about confidence and soft skills, right? Human skills. But it's not about getting rid of all your negative beliefs. That's just not the human condition. It's about working through the belief system and building self-awareness so that you can shift the behavior so that it serves you versus sabotages you. So it's all about managing your belief. It's not that we're going to exterminate every single negative thought that we have, but it's about catching the negativity and being like, no, we're not going to go there, and like driving it and shifting it into something that can serve you. So that's why those 4 B's, I'm going to go back to the 4 B's because that's really the starting point. And it's not easy, but those 4 B's are going to serve you, because when you catch the belief, it's not about like, oh, I have a negative thought. It's like, wait a minute, why do I have this belief? Where is it coming from? And is this sabotaging me or serving me? And if it's not serving you, then we need to figure out how to shift it. And that's what that 4Bs is there to help you do. But I don't want people walking around thinking that, like, oh, I can't have a negative thought. I have negative thoughts every day, but I'm really good at sticking up for myself to myself. Mm. Like, I'm really good at being like, Netta, don't you dare talk to yourself like that. Like, stop it right now. Get rid of that thought. And it's miraculous what it does. I'm like, yeah, I stick up for myself to myself. Just like I would, if a person down the street came to me and was like, Netta, you're not good enough. I'd be like, excuse me, who are you talking to? We have to do the same thing to ourselves.
Yeah. Oh my God. I do love that, because sometimes I'll have like a negative thought and like, I'm so conscious of like a negative thought. I'm like, why would I bring that negative energy into this space, like around this idea? And I literally like, what are you doing, Leslie? Like, that's not who you are. Take that back. Think of another positive thought before you finish this like little thought process in your head. And I think of like, my God, if someone could hear, like there's a transcript of like the conversation in my head all day, it would be a book long every day. And it would be a little bit of back and forth between myself.
Netflix documentary.
100%. Oh my gosh, Netta, you are awesome. It's so incredible what you were able to create. Thank you for sharing your whole story. It's so important that people hear that, like, you don't have to have all the answers to get started. And also how, like, just by sticking up for you and really focusing on what you believe in, that you can create amazing things no matter what's going on in the world. So you're just incredible inspiration. Y'all, how are you going to use these Be It action items in your life? Let us know. Tag Netta, tag the Be It pod. Share this with a friend who you're like, my goodness, if their confidence could just be a little bit better, or maybe they need something like Rise Up For You, just share it with them, because that could be the easiest thing that they do today, is to start to think about themselves and what's holding them back. And until next time, be it till you see it.
That's all I got for this episode of the Be It Till You See It podcast. One thing that would help both myself and future listeners is for you to rate the show and leave a review. And follow or subscribe for free wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, make sure to introduce yourself over at the Be It Pod on Instagram. I would love to know more about you. Share this episode with whoever you think needs to hear it. Help us and others be it till you see it. Have an awesome day.
Be It Till You See It is a production of the Bloom Podcast Network. If you want to leave us a message or a question that we might read on another episode, you can text us at +1 310-905-5534 or send a DM on Instagram at Be It Pod.
It's written, filmed, and recorded by your hosts, Leslie Logan, and me, Brad Crowell.
It is transcribed, produced, and edited by the epic team at Desenio.co.
Our theme music is by Ali at Apex Production Music, and our branding by designer and artist Gianfranco Cioffi.
Special thanks to Melissa Solomon for creating our visuals.
Also to Angelina Herrico for adding all of our content to our website. And finally, to Meredith Root for keeping us all on point and on time.
All right, my coffee lovers. I got something for you. And I know most of you are coffee lovers, because if you're listening to this, you have lots of things you're doing, and coffee is something that you are taking with you everywhere you go. In fact, I know the Pilates instructors around here are taking coffee, kombucha, tea, and water into every class that they take. So this one is amazing, because this is Pure Cafe Bold. They have two options for you. They've got black coffee, and then they've got a caramel coffee latte, which is amazing. And here's why it's amazing. It's pre-brewed. So it comes in this amazing little packet, and you can actually just take the packet in to your office, your work, on a plane, like we've been doing, and then you pour hot water in, and boom, you've got coffee. And this coffee actually has some amazing stuff. It's not just regular coffee. This coffee supports your immune system, it boosts cognitive function, increases stamina, it reduces stress, and it has cordyceps.
And what are cordyceps, you ask? Oh, that's right, Brad's here. Nature's powerful secret energizer, a rare species of fungi, cordyceps is renowned for its invigorating properties and centuries-old use in traditional medicine, packed with essential nutrients. This natural adaptogen boosts stamina and supports overall well-being. And seriously, it's actually super simple to make. Leslie and I have taken it camping.
Yeah.
I'll use it in the afternoon.
We're taking it everywhere because I'm tired of conferences and different hotels having burnt coffee.
It's 1,000 times better than the terrible coffee that you get on an airplane.
And the black coffee is like less than $1 a packet. So it's like, it's really kind of amazing.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the caramel myself.
He
the
does
caramel
like
has
it.
A little bit of milk in it. So.
It has some dairy. So my dairy free peeps, you can't do the caramel, but you can do the black, right?
Yeah. The black coffee is vegan, keto, gluten-free, non-GMO, nut-free, dairy-free, fat-free, and CGMP compliant.
All right. So here's the deal. You need to go to beitpod.com/coffee.
BEITPOD.com/coffee. And when you do that, you are going to be able to get some amazing coffee that we're loving. You can buy it as a one-time purchase, or you can actually get it as a subscription. There's even family packs. So if you know that you've got a lot of coffee drinkers in your household, this is amazing. And it's honestly cheaper than all the coffees we've been making at home. So we are so excited. I hope you are. Go to beitpod.com/coffee. And, you know, cheers to you and I. Every morning, we'll be drinking the same coffee together. Woo!